Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, continuing our series here. And there's about six different ways I can take this service tonight with what we're going to share, but we're going to just endeavor to follow the Holy Ghost. One minister said it this way: I'm following the Holy Ghost like a dog on a hunt. What's that mean? Just wherever he's going, just dog on a hunt. You ever see a dog on a hunt? Man, they're just on the ground, nose to the ground, sniffing. If the trail leads them this way, they go this way. If the scent leads them this way, they go this way. Whichever way the Holy Ghost wants to go, praise God. Proverbs chapter 3. I will do just a real short review. We're not going to spend a lot of time. You can get on there. Most of you have heard this anyways, and I can't preach all the sermons here that we have anyways to do, or all that we've done up to this point, praise God. And I thought about doing a little bit longer review, but it just doesn't seem right in my heart. So we have a very special treat for you tonight before we do the prayer. I was going to pray before, but we're going to do this first. I'm going to ask Troy and Tracy to come forward. We're going to do a baby dedication today. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The word is good. I'm so excited for this baby and what God's got for him. You guys just stand right down there. Is he sleeping? Okay. Just come right up to the front here. Amen. I love doing baby dedications, you know. We believe the Bible way as far as baptisms go. You know, you have to be saved and submersion in water. You know, that's the way the Bible teaches it. But when we dedicate a child to the Lord, it gives us an opportunity for all of us as a congregation to release our faith and also to charge mom and dad for what the Word says. You know, it's a good thing. You know, God has put some wonderful things in His Word concerning little baby Colt. Man, I don't know. I'm having trouble talking. I mean, he's so cute. I don't want to talk too loud, you know. He's snoring? I could put anybody to sleep. I'm telling you, I could do it. I can do it, praise God. But I want to just charge in, mention a few things in the Word of God here tonight. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 says this, that before I formed you in the belly, this is the Lord talking to Jeremiah. He says, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Now, am I saying that little Colton's going to be a prophet? No, but what I'm saying is that God spoke to Jeremiah that before you were even born, I knew, before you were even in the belly, I knew you and I knew the plan that I had for you. And the Bible says that the works of God have been finished before the foundations of the world. And so God, in way, way back time, already had a plan for this little mighty man. And that's exciting. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, we know it says that I have a plan for you, says the Lord. It plans to prosper you, to give you hope, a future, and expected outcome. And so we know that God has a specific purpose and a specific plan for this little guy. And I'm excited to be a part of it. But I want to say this to you, that it's your job. And this is not a job to be taken lightly. You know, Jesus said this about children. He said that woe unto them that basically in Pastor Mike's translation, mess with a little child, that it would be better for them to go tie a millstone around their neck and jump in the water. You know, he takes it serious, little kids. And it's your job as Colton's mom and dad to raise him right and to raise him in the things of God. And I want to share with you a few verses on what it says here. And then I'm going to ask you if I can hold him. It'd be my first time holding him. And we'll release our faith and pray for him. But in Psalms 112, verse 1, listen to what this says. It says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord. And the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is to do his commandments, to reverence him, to honor him, to do his word. It says, that delights greatly in his commandments. There, it tells you right there. Blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. What's that mean? Following his word, obeying the word. Now look what it says, if you guys will delight in the Lord's commandments and in His Word, look what it says concerning Him. His seed, that's He's your seed, shall be mighty on the earth. Isn't that what we want for Him, to be mighty on the earth? And it says, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. That's why we speak over my children, that they're blessed and highly favored on this earth. Why? The Bible says they're mighty on this earth. Why? Because we delight in the Lord's commandments and His word, and so we get that. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart. So whose job is it to train? It's your job. You know, they make book, they write books, and psychologists and stuff say it takes a village, the whole community. No, that's not what God says. God says the parents are to train. God says the parents are to raise up children. Now, yes, can people in the church be a blessing and help, and people in schools? I'm not saying they can't, but it's not up to them to raise your children. It's up to you to train your child in the way they should go. And notice it says train. I know this when I've studied athletes and things. Sometimes training isn't always the most fun, right? It comes with discipline. It comes with correction. But then listen to this in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 through 3. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. Now notice this. It says, that is the first commandment that comes with a promise. What's the promise if Colton will honor you, if he'll obey you? Look at what the promise is. That it may be well with him, that he would live long on the earth. Now why do I say that? Because children do not come out of the womb honorable. Children do not come out of the womb obedient. They need to be taught obedience. They need to be taught honor. And that is a huge responsibility, but it's one that is worth it. Why? Because the Bible promises you that if you'll teach this little guy honor, if he'll teach him to respect you, to obey you, you know, I see so many, I mean, I could go into story after story of parents I see with children in the stores, parents I see with children, just out and about at family get-togethers, and their kids rule the roost, their kids, whatever their kids say they get, and they don't understand. They're doing their children a disservice. Why? The Bible says if he will be honorable and he will be obedient, that he will live long on the earth and it'll be well with him. And I know that you want nothing more. So the way that you're going to do that, guys, is to always steer him towards the things of God. Make it so he grows. See, my kids, they have no problem going to church. They've grown up in church. They know God's house is where it's at. You know, there's no greater place. Baseball doesn't take the place of it. Dance class doesn't take the place of it. They know that God's house is where it's at. They know the ways of God. They don't fight against that or kick against that because it's normal to them. Make God first in this little guy's life. You will not regret it. And there'll be temptations, and there'll be worldly advice, and there'll be even family members at times, and there'll be friends that will think you're crazy for what you're doing, but you'll just say, yeah, I'm crazy blessed. That's how I always say, I'm crazy, but I'm crazy blessed. Praise God. So can I take that little fella? Oh, come here, little guy. I'm your pastor. Did you know that? I'm your pastor. It's been a while since I've held one. Oh, wow, he's precious. I'm going to go up here so people can see. Oh, look at that. Let's just go ahead and reach forth our hands and just release your faith. Father, this precious little guy, Lord, you have a plan for Colton. Father, what a blessing he is, Lord. He came as such a surprise to Troy and Tracy. Father, you must have such a great plan for him. And Father, we just all release our faith here together tonight, Father, that this little guy will grow up in love and admonition of the Lord, Father. He'll learn your ways, Father, and we say that he will fulfill all that you have in his life. Satan, you keep your hands off this child. You are not permitted to mess with him. This is God's baby. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that he is mighty on this earth. He's blessed, highly favored. And Father, we thank you for favor and blessing all the days of his life. And Father, we thank you that he's going to fulfill and walk into everything you have for him. Father, I thank you that Troy and Tracy will take these charges seriously. To raise him in the training and admonition and in the word of the Lord. And Father, I thank you they'll be blessed for it and he will be blessed for it. And Father, we just dedicate him to you, Lord. Whatever your purpose is for Colton, Father, whatever your plan is for Colton, Father, we say, may the Lord's will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, man. Oh, I did it. I did it. He's crying. Oh, you got him? Love you guys. Let's give him a hand, a golf clap. We don't want to wake the baby up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Well, let's get to pray in here and get into today's message. Father, we're just so grateful, so thankful for people like Troy and Tracy and all. They've been here with us since the beginning in the hotel. Father, thank you for the blessing on their lives and what they're going to walk into and the things they're going to experience in that little boy. We're excited to be a part of their family. And Father, so many good things have happened in our lives and their lives because of the Word of God. So Father, as I minister the Word this evening, Father, I thank you as I open my mouth, you're going to fill it. I thank you I'll speak words from heaven. Father, we'll walk out of here changed. We'll walk out of here blessed. We'll walk out of here on a new level of glory. And Father, we'll make sure to give you the praise for it. We'll make sure to give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Oh, he's so cute. Man, I loved holding him. I miss it. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, this has been kind of our keynote scriptures, hasn't it? And I love verse 6. It tells you, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Now, without going into all the verses and all what we've, the review, because it would just take too long, he said that he would, if you acknowledge him, he'll direct your paths. And we said, do we want God directing our paths? Yes, we do. Because in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says that God has paths that we should walk in that will cause us to what? Live the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Hallelujah. And so we're excited about God's path, God's plan. But how many of you know, a lot of people struggle in life unnecessarily. Well, what do you mean, Pastor Mike? Well, is God's path for his children poverty? No. Then why do Christians walk in it? Is God's path for his children depression, fear, and anxiety and stress? No. Why do Christians walk in it? Is God's plan for his people sickness and disease and torment? No. But why do some Christians stay in it year after year, going around that same mountain of depression, same mountain of sickness, same mountain? It's not God's plan for you. He says, I've given you abundant life, heaven on earth life, or the good life, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says. Well, why? Well, people just don't want to do it God's way. Because he said, if you'll acknowledge me in that financial problem, if you'll acknowledge me in that relationship problem, if you'll acknowledge me in that problem you have in your business, if you acknowledge me in that problem you're having and you can't seem to figure out medicine and doctors, he said, I'll direct your path. I'll help you, praise God. So what are we trying to do? Trying to get you from doing it your way, doing it God's way. Now remember, God said that he guides and directs and leads by the Spirit. Now this is just all review. That's why I'm going fast and not turning anywhere. He said in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Amen? So how's God going to lead you out of your financial trial? Not through thoughts, not through feelings. He's going to lead you by the Holy Ghost. How's he going to lead you out of that mess you're in, that situation you don't have the answer to? By the Holy Spirit. But many people are unaware of the Holy Ghost. In fact, many Christians, by the way they talk and the way they act, are unaware that God lives on the inside of them. How could you ever be worried, ever be fearful, ever feel like it's no hope and that you're at a lost cause when you have God, the God who's the God of the impossible, the God that says there's nothing too hard for me, the God that says I know your beginning from your end, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, I've already been to your future and back. How in the world could you ever be worried or concerned knowing you have that on the inside of you? But everybody's looking to opinions. They're looking for quick fixes. They're looking for this and that. And they're looking in the wrong place. The help all the time was led by the Spirit. Amen. And we saw the tale of two men, Abraham and Lot. We saw Abraham was a man that followed God's voice. And what did it lead to? Blessing. Lot was a man that followed his own desires, his own thoughts, his own feelings. And what happened? It led to trouble, didn't it? Lot got into big, big trouble. Well, we don't want that to be the case. So we learned last week how God leads us. And how does he lead us? Well, Colossians 3:15 tells us, by peace. Right? So let the peace of God rule or act as an umpire. Well, what's an umpire do? If he says you're out, you're out. If he says you're safe, you're safe. Even if it looks bad, even doesn't look right, doesn't feel right, whatever the umpire says is how it goes. Well, here's where we're coming up to tonight now. Many people will say, okay, peace is the answer. But you know, Pastor, I can't decide if it's peace in my heart. I can't determine if it's peace in my head. I can't determine if it's just my flesh. How many of you know that's trouble? Because the Bible says that we're a three-part being. We're a spirit, but we have a soul, a mind, a will, and emotions that's housed in a body. All three of those things are going to endeavor to lead you. Your flesh will try to lead you. Your mind is going to try to lead you. And your heart or your spirit is going to try to lead you. But God says, I'm only in one of them. He says, I'm not leading you through feelings, emotions. I'm not leading you to what you think is right. I'm leading by the Spirit of God. And so that begs the question then. How can we hear from the Spirit of God when our flesh is loud, when our mind is loud? And how do we hear that Spirit? And I'm not even going to talk about how it's the still small voice. But I'll make a mention of it. God's not showing up with writing on the wall, with firecrackers stepping out of the smoke and saying, here I am, do this. No. He speaks through peace and still small voice. And the problem with that is people's flesh is so loud, their minds are so loud, and their mind is yelling, right? Their flesh is yelling, and God is speaking to them, and they're not hearing it. How do we get sensitive in our hearts to hear the Holy Ghost? Well, that's what I want to help you with today. And one of the best ways, now are you ready for this? Get ready for fun tonight. One of the best ways you can get sensitive or get your spirit sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. Because when you're in a bind, let me just say this. When you're in a crisis and you need God's help, your mind is going to be loud during that time. Your emotions are going to be loud. You need to be able to hone in and be skillful to hear what's God saying. Because maybe you want to, maybe something's going on that the fire's turned up and you want to get out of that situation. Your flesh is telling you, get out of that situation. Your mind's telling you, get out of that situation. But God's saying, it's not time yet. Or what if you things are so good in a place and things are going so great and God's telling you, okay, it's time to do something different. And your flesh is loving it. Your mind's loving it. And the Spirit's saying, it's time to go. It's time to... How about relationships? Oh, it feels so good. It feels so good and everything's going so well. It has to be God. It's just feeling great and everything's so great. Yeah, that might not be what the Spirit's saying. Amen. Or what about God? What about the Spirit of God leads you to do something financially and it makes your eyeballs spin? But God's saying, okay, give this. And why would God say that? To give and get into something more. But your mind's like, I can't do that. I can't do that. Your flesh said, no way, that doesn't feel right. And you'll miss out what God has for you. Why? Because you weren't sensitive to your spirit. Amen. It happens all the time. So one of the ways, and I want to preach it and show it to you by the Word of God, that you can get sensitive, make your spirit sensitive to the voice of God. Can you believe that most people, most Christians go through this life never following the voice of God? Because they never learn how to follow the voice of God. They never take time to develop their inner man, their spirit man, where God's speaking. And one of the best ways you can develop your spirit man and to get sensitive to the Spirit of God is to pray lots in other tongues. Ouch, I said it. I'm not taking it back. Wait a second, you think? This is one of those tongue churches? Oh, you didn't know that by now? You didn't know? What do you think your pastor's doing all day? What do you think your pastor's doing driving here? What do you think your pastor's doing laying there at night? Not singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. How I wonder what you are. No, I'm praying in tongues, praise God. Now, here we go. Now, here's the thing you need to know about tongues, because when you say the word tongues, it can elicit a whole bunch of feelings and emotions and ideas and stereotypes and things like that. But how many of you know the word causes our fears and emotions to be put to rest? Because the Bible says that the things of the Spirit of God do not make sense or are foolishness to a person's mind. So when you say things like tongues and you think of, okay, I know what tongues is. It's this language that sounds like, just babble and doesn't make any sense. My mind has trouble grasping that. My flesh has trouble grasping that. But if the Word comes behind those feelings and says, it's okay, it's safe. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, for those of you that are already filled with the Holy Ghost and have spoken tongues, I'm talking to you as well, because I said the way you're going to develop your spirit is not to be filled by the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues once. I'm talking about constantly speaking in tongues will develop your spirit, man. Why? You're going to see that speaking in tongues is a spiritual exercise. When I go to the gym and I do bicep curls and hammer curls and concentration curls, what is that doing? Building my muscle. Why? I'm exercising that muscle. When I do a spiritual exercise, what am I doing? Exercising my spirit. My spirit man is then growing, becoming stronger. Because why? My flesh is loud, my mind is loud, and so many people's little spirits are inside saying, I'm here. And your flesh is raw, and your mind is raw, and you're not hearing from God. So you need to get in the spiritual gym. One of the ways you get in the spiritual gym, one of the best ways you get in the spiritual gym is getting in the spiritual gym, praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. One minister said this, pray in tongues till your tongue falls off, pick it back up, put it back in, and keep praying in tongues. That's how much you should pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you that are unfamiliar, because I don't know where everybody is, and maybe it's weird to you and different, let me just say this. Just because something is unfamiliar, feels weird, doesn't make sense to you, or feels wrong, doesn't mean it's wrong. Can I tell you an example of when I took my first golf lesson? Want to hear it? Well, I was a baseball player. You know, when I grip that bat, you don't swing it. Well, when I got a golf club, I grip the same thing and just get up there and just, and most of the time it goes to the right or to the left or skid across the ground. Every once in a while, I'd get a good one, you know, and just whack it. That's what felt comfortable to me to just stand there and do a Happy Gilmore. You know what Happy Gilmore did, right? He just ran right up that thing and whack. Now, a lot of times I wouldn't run up to it. I would just kind of just stand there, but like a baseball, and just hit it. And the ball going into the weeds. The ball's going into the pond. We got a lot of Christians living in the weeds and the ponds. So I said, you know, I'm going to get a golf lesson. Well, the golf instructor says, have you ever played golf? I said, yes. He said, hit the ball. So he gets me about five to ten balls and says, keep hitting them. He says to me, you play baseball, don't you? I said, yes, sir, I do. I did at the time, you know. And he's like, I can tell. This ain't baseball. And he said, the first thing I want to do with you, he says, I can see you have hand-eye coordination. I don't miss the ball. He said, I need to change your grip. Now, he took my pinky and my index finger and interlocked them and had my thumbs all weird on the club. And it felt so uncomfortable. And it felt so weird. And it felt so wrong. And it didn't make sense to me how you could do that. And I was arguing with him. I said, that doesn't feel right. That doesn't feel right. This feels better. And he said to me, he said, you have a choice. You're paying me. You have a choice. You can listen to me, who is the golf pro, or you can keep doing it your way and chasing your balls in the weed, chasing the balls in the sand, and chasing the balls in the water. It's up to you. I thought, that makes sense. So I said, all right, fine, I'll do it. And out to my amazement, got there, because my swing wasn't that bad. It was how I was gripping the club and he just did a little bit, and he did this, and I hit that thing. I couldn't believe how straight it went. And he's sitting over there like, yeah. But what if I'd have said, you know, this isn't how I've always done it. This isn't how I was taught to do it. This doesn't feel comfortable for me. Well, it's the same thing with the subject of speaking in tongues. It is one of the most misunderstood subjects in the whole Bible, and it shouldn't be. It's not, and you're going to see tonight, it's not as if speaking in tongues is some obscure doctrine that's set aside for the Pentecostals or the charismatic people. You know, you're one of those charismatic Pentecostal churches. Bible church, you mean? Because the people in the book of Acts were charismatic for God, and Pentecostals, what's that mean, Pentecostal? They came out of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, they were in one room, in one accord, in the upper room, right? So it says, that's all that is. But Pentecostal and charismatic, although I don't label my church that way, I label us, people ask, I say, what are you? We're Bible church. We just believe the Bible, go figure. They think charismatic and Pentecostal means crazy. You know, the wackos for God. The radical extremists of God. Why? Because they're untaught and they're ignorant. But let the word do the talking. Just because it's uncomfortable and doesn't seem right or seemed wrong to you or you've been taught a different way doesn't mean you're right. Because I went into that golf lesson, I found I was dead wrong. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at some things in the word and what the word says about it. But I'm just here to tell you, one of the reasons that Christians are off in the weeds, one of the reasons Christians are off in the sand trap, one of the reasons Christians are off in the ponds and the ditches of life, is because of this little subject right here. It's not an obscure subject that's just a doctrine for the crazy people. You're going to see in the Word tonight that Jesus was very strict and stern about what he thought about the subject. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, here's what you need to know. When you see this, the Word, it won't surprise you. The enemy has done much to discredit this subject in the Bible, because of the power that it brings to the Christian. Because of the ramifications that the enemy will have if the Christian will do what the Bible says to do. And, I mean, there are ministers that I could name to you right now that are worldwide, that have TV ministries and have thousands of followers, that will stand up behind their pulpit and say this is, they'll say it's of the devil. They've wrote books against it. Well, I have the only book I need that tells me it's okay. But don't take my word for it. Let's take Jesus' word for it. Amen? So I want to show you in the Word here tonight what it is, what Jesus said about it, and we'll see how far we get into it. But we're trying to stir you up. If you've never been filled, to get filled. If you've been filled, to keep praying in tongues lots and lots. Go with me to Mark chapter 16. The only way we're going to find out is what the Bible says. Mark chapter 16. I've heard so many things. Tongues has passed away. You ever heard that one? It's passed away. I've heard that excuse. I've heard that tongues is of the devil. Well, the Bible says in Mark chapter 16 in verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Well, he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. So who is this available to? Anyone that will believe. That's what Jesus said, not Pastor Mike. These signs will follow them that believe. Notice you've got to believe in it. In my name, they'll cast out devils. That's legit. They who? Who's the they? Them that believe. This is what Jesus said. They shall speak with new tongues. What's that mean? A tongue that's never been uttered before. Jesus said, they that believe shall speak with new tongues. Doesn't seem like it's of the devil. Doesn't seem like it's passed away, because there's still people that have never been born, and even people on the earth that are not born again yet, that haven't had an opportunity to be a believer yet. But when they are a believer, the Bible says they can speak in tongues. Yeah, anyone that believes. Anyone, if you go out in the street tonight and go down to Walmart and get somebody saved and they get born again, guess what's also available to them? Tongues. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. And I'm telling you, you tongue talkers that are already tongue talkers, you need to ramp it up. You don't realize what will happen and the changes you'll get if you'll pray lots in other tongues. There's a supernatural element to your life that you'll gain that has not otherwise been there. Now, 1 Corinthians 14 and 18, who wrote 1 Corinthians? The Apostle Paul. Now, besides Jesus, there's 1A, Jesus, 1B would be the Apostle Paul as far as people on the earth that did God's plan. The Apostle Paul was entrusted to write 2/3 of the New Testament. He was the greatest apostle there ever was. We have revelation from him that we're still living off and receiving and being blessed by, right? So we would all agree that the Apostle Paul is quite the mighty man of God, wouldn't you say? And look what he says. Don't talk about tongues. It's of the devil, and I'm afraid. Don't ever talk about it. Sweep it under the rug. No. See, the Apostle Paul stood up on a platform and said, I thank my God. He said, I'm thankful for this. That I, the Apostle Paul. See, this won't mean much if you don't know who he is. He's only the greatest one that ever lived that was a believer, in terms of what God entrusted him to do. He said, I, the writer of 2/3 of the Bible that was used to preach before Gentiles and kings and start all these churches, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Who's he talking to? The whole church at Corinth. He says, I speak in tongues more than every single one of you. If there's any billboard that should be posted for speaking in tongues, it's this verse. Nothing in there says it's of the devil. Nothing in there passes away. Nothing in there that's weird, spooky, ooky, and confusing. He says, I do it more than everybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we got Jesus saying believers will speak in new tongues. We got Paul saying, I just want you to know I do it more than everybody. Yeah. Go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Let's see what else Jesus said about it. Well, you know, that's just, again, for those crazy people. And I know. I know what people say. I know what people think. This is one of those doctrines that the Lord showed me. When I was in Florida a few years back, he gave me a vision. I don't ask for visions. Don't expect visions to happen. It just happened. And he put me behind a pulpit of three churches. Never been to the church before, never seen the inside of the church before, but he put me behind the pulpit of three churches that were large, and I'm not going to tell you what they were because never here to criticize, but I was just minding my business, and I was behind the pulpit of three churches, and they were all churches that had lots and lots of people. They were all churches that had a killer worship team. I'm talking the lights and smoke show and all the instruments and people and singing and jumping and shouting. They had all cars in the parking lot, as far as you could see. I mean, just huge churches. And he said to me, he said, if I put you behind that, with that vision, he said, if I put you behind those pulpits, he said, you'll clean those churches out. Now, I thought he was rebuking me at first and correcting me for something. And I said, Lord, that's not a good thing. I don't want to be known as the people clearing pastor. And he said, no, it's not because of you. It's because you will bring me to their services. And he started to talk to me about different things. And I started to say, oh, I've seen that even in my own church. He started to say, you know, because how many of you know, the Bible says Jesus is the Word. He's the whole Word. He's the Word that you don't agree with. He's the Word that you're uncomfortable with. And he's the Word that you love that gets you into heaven and blesses your kids. He's the whole Word. He said, you'll bring me. He said, you'll bring tithing into their services. How many of you know? He is tithing. Amen. Well, I've seen tithing clear out church seats more than anything in churches I preach in. He said, you'll bring the doctrine of divine healing. That'll clear them out because people don't agree with that. He said, you'll bring the, and then he said, you'll bring the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Well, I'll tell you what, tongues and the Holy Ghost are the two biggest reasons why I've been able to clear some people out of my churches. Right. What am I supposed to do? Not preach the Bible? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Acts chapter 2, well, the Bible said in Acts chapter 2, we'll get to what Jesus said. First of all, go to Acts chapter 1 real quick. Acts chapter 1, hold your place in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Now, if you know the study, the context and time here, Jesus already died and he's already rose again. Now, I want to stop because this just came up in my heart to say this and I just need to obey God. For those of you here that are already tuning me out, this is your help for your life. There's going to come a day in time that you're going to need supernatural assistance with your kids, with your money, and your family. And you're going to be grasping at natural straws trying to get the help. And I know how it goes. People hear about this stuff and they think, oh boy, here we go. Let the Word do the talking. Who gives a rip what so-and-so told you? Who gives a rip what your mind says? Who gives a rip what Pastor Mike says? What does the Bible say about this? Amen. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, and being assembled together with them, so the people that he's assembled with are the disciples who are now born again. How did they get born again? They got born again because the Bible says he that believes that Jesus died and rose again will be saved. Well, they saw him die and raise again. He's now in their midst. They're saved. He says, being together, assembled together with them. Look at the next word, suggested. No. Jesus commanded them. The first thing that Jesus says to them or commands them, the only thing the Bible says that he commanded after he rose from the dead was this. He said, they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days from now. So Jesus didn't say it would be a good idea if you waited for this. No. He said, do not leave Jerusalem until you, the born-again Christian, get something extra in their life. If you think you got all of God when you got born again, you are sadly mistaken. Amen? It's just not true. Jesus is saying there's a separate experience that you need. Now, why do they need it? Well, he tells them in verse 8. But you shall receive power. You know what that word power is? It's the word dunamis. You know what the word dunamis means? Supernatural, miracle working power. He said you'll receive supernatural, miracle working power after. Who's he talking to? Born again Christians. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What's he saying to them? Go ahead and leave. Go ahead and go before the Holy Ghost, before you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you're going to be living a life without supernatural power. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the majority of the body of Christ are living life without supernatural power. Why? If they would have left and said, we don't want any of this. We don't want any of this. They wouldn't have got that power. Jesus said, don't you dare leave without it. Now, let me establish something and qualify something. Can you go to heaven without getting filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues? Yes. I had a woman get filled with the Holy Ghost in my service in South Dayton. She got filled with the Holy Ghost, started speaking in tongues, ended up getting offended with me later on, and now goes around telling people that Pastor Mike says, you go to hell if you're not filled with tongues. And she said, I made her speak in tongues. I thought, I didn't know that. I reached down your throat, grabbed your voice box, and jiggled it a little bit to make it sound like tongues. And how do I make you speak in tongues? I can't make anybody speak in tongues. Hallelujah. You go to heaven, but I will say this, because this is the truth. Those Christians that are not filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, because you're going to see they go hand in hand, are not living with power. Not living with supernatural power. You're not. You're doing it your own way. It's the truth. Jesus said, don't leave. You'll receive power. Not when you became a Christian. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He's already talking to Christians. They're already saved. Hallelujah. There's a separate experience, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. Let me just real quick pull up something here for you. Because it'll be a blessing to you. Let me find out which one I want to go to. Let's go to Acts chapter, let's see. Acts chapter 10 in verse 44. Hallelujah. While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. Now, what this is going to show you is that tongue being filled with the Holy Ghost, what Jesus said, because I said that being filled with the Holy Ghost, tongues goes with it. This is going to prove it. The Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they which have the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So he said, we're shocked. We didn't think the Jews or the Gentiles could get it. What's a Gentile? An unsaved, non-Jewish person. And they said, we didn't know the Gentiles could get this. And they said, the Gentiles got the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, let me ask you, how would you know somebody got the gift of the Holy Ghost? One time, Abby threw a sheet around her head and went running through the house saying, I'm the Holy Ghost. Well, I could see her. You can't see the Holy Ghost. How would you know somebody got filled with the Holy Ghost? How would you know? Because Peter is saying, he's saying, the Gentiles, they got, he says, we're astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also, just like it was on Peter, the upper room in Acts chapter 2, poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How would Peter know that the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out on them? Tells us in the next verse, verse 46. For, or because, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. How did Peter know that the unsaved, that got, they got saved first, that were un-Jewish people, how did he know he got the Holy Ghost? They spoke with tongues. The exact same thing happened to them. We're going to see in Acts chapter 2. Remember, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. You can't get one without the other. Now go with me to Acts chapter 19. I want to show you that it's a separate experience. Because Jesus is telling them in Acts chapter 1, don't leave without this. If you do, you're powerless. Why would you want to be powerless in a world that's run? Sounds like a movie headline. In a world. You know, they always start within a world, that voice, you know. In a world, it's run by the devil. Well, it is run by the devil, and he's good at what he does. Why would you want to be out? You have a supernatural being who's excellent at what he does in stealing, killing, and destroying, and you're a natural being. Why would you only want to bring the natural against him? That's why Jesus said, there's power. You can have power. You can go out with dunamis, miracle-working, dynamite power if you'll get this. So he said, in Acts chapter 19 and verse 1, it says, it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. So Paul finds disciples here, and he says unto them, look at what Paul says to them. If you think you got all of God when you got born again, I got born again January 10, 2002. I did not get all of God that there was to get. I got a measure of God. The Holy Ghost came on the inside of me, but the baptism or the coming upon me of the Holy Ghost had not happened yet. Look what Paul said to them. Have you received the Holy Ghost since or after you believed? What's he saying? Hey, believers, there's more than just getting saved. That's what Jesus is telling the believers in Acts chapter 1. He's saying, don't leave without this. I know you're saved, but now I'm going to give you power. And they said unto him, we haven't heard so much whether there be any Holy Ghost. That's what most people are. Holy Ghost? What's that? Hallelujah. And if you go read down through there, it says in verse 6, Paul laid his hands on them and the Holy Ghost came upon them. The Holy Ghost came upon them and, everybody say and. Holy Ghost and, Holy Ghost and, Holy Ghost and, Holy Ghost and, they spoke with tongues. Why? Because the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. Oh, I want that filling with the Holy Ghost, but I want that tongues business. Can't have it that way. See, you only think being speaking in tongues is weird because it's coming through the filter of your mind or coming through the filter of some opinion that you heard or some stereotype you've heard. Tongues is a beautiful thing. Amen. Go back to Acts chapter 1. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you'll receive power. Anybody want power? I want power. So he says, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Okay, so you know what they were? They were good listeners. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, we pick it up. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Well, that's what Jesus told them to be, didn't he? He said, don't leave without it. They didn't. They listened. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, he said, when you say, John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. Well, it happened. They stayed and listened, and it happened. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit. There it is again. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and, filled with the Holy Ghost and, filled with the Holy Ghost and. Peter was shocked that the Gentiles received the Holy Ghost. How did he know they received the Holy Ghost? For they spoke with tongues. Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost? We don't even know there's a Holy Ghost. Paul laid his hands on them. They're filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke with tongues. The Holy Ghost is poured out. They're filled and they what? Speak with tongues. It's all over the New Testament. Amen. But I'm going to help you understand it better. Now, let me just, this is the direction I want to take this for right now. And this might be a two-parter next week to go into next week talking about the benefits of praying in tongues. You don't want to miss that service. But I'm going to get you stirred up to want it first. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 12, it says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one another, what meaneth this? Because they're all speaking in tongues, and it gets out of the windows, it spills outside the upper room, and all the people around say, what is going on here? This is crazy talk, right? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. So they started accusing them of being crazy drunks, right? But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said with them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. These men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this, what's the this? Speaking in tongues. Why? Because that's why they're, why are they saying they're drunk with new wine? Because they're speaking in tongues and they don't understand it. But Peter says, this, the tongues, is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, saying in the last days, verse 17, and it shall come to pass last days that God says, I will pour out my spirit. When did it happen? In the upper room. It was poured out. And then the result of being filled with tongues is always the evidence of speaking in tongues. Or the result of being filled with the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. And they're saying, this is crazy talk. And Peter says, it's not crazy talk. This that you're seeing and hearing is exactly what the prophet Joel spoke many, many moons ago. And when God pours out his spirit, this is the result. And that's what Jesus said, in my name, when they believe. Notice tongues were not before you became Christian. Jesus never spoke in tongues. They never spoke in tongues in Jesus' day. Why? He said, they'll follow them that believe in his name. After he dies and rises again, they'll speak with new tongues. So Peter's preaching said, this is that. And he goes on to this long sermon, but this is what I want you to see in verse 38. Because I know what people think. Oh, that tongue's business for that crazy pastor up there. That's just for that. That's just for the wacko Christian that raises their hands and gets all excited during worship. That's just for that charismatic sect of the body of Christ. Oh, is it? Well, Jesus said that believers will do it. And look what Peter says. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. What's he saying? Number one, get saved. That's your first step, getting saved. Number two, he says, and, that means there's something else you can have after you get saved. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, who's this for? For this promise is unto you. What promise? The promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost, which what turns into what? Speaking in tongues. This gift, this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. How many? Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. What's he saying? Anybody that gets born again. Same thing Jesus said. They that believe will speak in new tongues. What am I trying to point out to you? It's available to everybody. It's a gift for everybody. Why would Jesus want just the disciples and the 120 in the upper room to have the power and the rest of his children not to have power? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Ladies and gentlemen, you were never meant to live a natural life. You've God on the inside. You were supposed to live supernaturally. Hallelujah. It's for everybody. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 5. Paul said this, I would, you know what that means there? I desire or I wish. I wish that you all spoke with tongues. He didn't say, I wish you all could speak in tongues. He said, I wish y'all would speak in tongues. It's not a could thing, it's a would thing. It's a faith thing. It's a belief thing. Didn't Jesus say, why do some people not speak in tongues? Exactly what Jesus said. These signs will follow them that believe or have faith. Some people, I don't want anything to do with that. That's not a believer. Oh, that's not for me. You're not a believer. You won't do it. You won't do it then. You won't do it. You'll miss out on all those benefits I'll tell you about. It's the truth. Now, what is speaking in tongues? This will help clear up some things in your head. Go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. What is speaking in tongues? It's not just some crazy language the craziest Christians on earth speak in to sound weird. No, now I will say this, though. Just like with any biblical subject, there's a middle of the road and there's a ditch. When it comes to the subject of speaking in tongues, it's no different. There's a Bible middle, and then there's a ditch over here that nobody ever talks about this. Many people from the South Dayton Church, and some of you in here have testified to me and said, I was in church my whole life and never heard a word about this. We just kind of skipped over these parts in the Bible. I grew up in a house with a grandma who read the Bible, who taught me the Bible, who thumped me over the head with the Bible, made me go to church with her, and I never heard this. That was the ditch. And then there's the ditch over here that goes past the middle of the road where it's the crazies and the kookies, and they're swinging from the chandeliers every service, and there's no order. People just stand up and speak in tongues or whatever. The preacher just starts speaking in tongues with no interpreter, no Bible order, and that's a ditch, and that ditch over there turns people off from the middle. But just because there's a ditch and a ditch doesn't mean you stay out of the middle. I drive down the road, and I see, hey, there's a ditch over there. There's a ditch over there. I'm going to go drive in the ditch. No, when I see the ditch, I say, I'm going to stay in the middle of the road. What's the middle of the road? The Bible. Well, what is praying? What is speaking in tongues? It tells us in verse 14. For if I pray, Paul says, in an unknown tongue, look what he says, my spirit prayeth. Now, that should mean something to us in this series because Pastor Mike told you that you do have a mind, will, and emotions. You do have a body or a flesh, but the real you, the you that's eternal, is not your mind. It's not your body. It's your spirit. So we should be spending more time praying from the real us than the natural us that's passing away. Paul said, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit's praying. I'm praying from the real me. And then he says here, but my understanding or my knowledge or thinking or grasp of it is unfruitful. What's he saying? When I speak in tongues, my spirit's praying. Something's happening, but my mind doesn't understand it. And that's why people leave it at the altar. That's why people leave it at the end of the sermon. Some people that don't speak in tongues will, I just know why. I've preached this for 9 years now, almost 9 years. And there are people still, after years, have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I've preached that several times in a year, and they just leave it there. Why? They can't grasp it with their mind. Oh, that's just too weird for me. Didn't never renewed their mind to the word. Same reason why some people don't benefit from tithing. They haven't renewed their mind to the word. Same why people won't benefit to walking in love and won't lay down their grudges and forgive people. Same thing why people haven't renewed their mind to raising their children the right way. They just don't renew their mind to it. Doesn't make sense to them, so they don't do it. It's the same thing. The Bible says in Romans 12 and verse 2 that we are transformed or changed by the renewing of our mind. We hear something that is that's weird to our mind and flesh, and the way we walk that out is to renew our mind to it, start thinking the word's way. Yeah. And Paul says, when I pray in tongue, my spirit's praying. That doesn't sound like weird. That doesn't sound like kooky and ooky. The real you, see, we're so natural that we think what we can touch and see is the real deal. No, no, no. The unseen made this realm. This is not the real realm. This is all passing away. This is all going away. This is not going to be here forever. But that unseen realm that Paul says I'm praying from, that's the eternal. Amen. Go to verse 2. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men. It's not for men's ears. Why? They're understanding. They can't understand. It's an unknown language. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Well, I don't want to speak in tongues. Oh, you don't want to talk to God? Couldn't I say that? He that speaks in an unknown tongue doesn't speak to men, speaks to God. Well, I don't want to speak in tongues. You don't want to speak to God then. Well, I'll pray to him out of my natural. Okay, then that's all you're going to get. You're going to miss out on a dunamis that Jesus said that you can't get without it. It's just the truth. Now, I want to close with this. I always close when I preach along this portion of it with this. Jesus said, and then we'll be done. And boy, we got fellowship downstairs. Oh, man, I seen the list. We're loaded tonight. But anyways, Jesus said, I bet it's Jesus. Because I'm amazed at how I can say that Jesus said believers will speak in new tongues. People say, nah, that's not for me. That's of the devil, and that's wrong. Jesus said, remember, Jesus, our master, our savior, our Lord, our king, he said, believers will speak with new tongues. Jesus said that. Not the charismatic preacher. Not the Pentecostal angle on it. I've heard it all. Well, maybe I haven't heard it all. I think I've heard it all. I've heard a lot about this, but I guess some things have come across my plate. Never ceased to amaze me. Paul said, I want to brag to you about how much I pray in tongues. Paul. Jesus, Paul. Jesus, Paul, did never disparage speaking in tongues, magnified it and lifted it up. Right? Hallelujah. Now, let me read you some testimonies of some mighty men and women of God that have either run in their race with God or that did things for God and fulfilled the race. John G. Lake, ever heard of him before? If you haven't, let me tell you about John G. Lake, an apostle of God over in Seattle, Washington in the 1900s. He had 100,000 confirmed medical healings in 5 years. 100,000. This is true. In fact, the U.S. government, you can study this out for yourself, called Seattle, Washington, the healthiest city in America when he was ministering. The United States government deemed Seattle, Washington, the healthiest. 100,000 healings in 5 years, confirmed medically. Not just people testifying, medical confirmations. He was over in Africa during the time of the bubonic plague. This is how mighty of supernatural he had in his midst. That they put a sample of the bubonic plague under a microscope, and the doctors looked at it, and they could see that it was alive and all the organisms in it and stuff. And John G. Lake said, "Put it in my hand." Mr. Lake, you can't put that in your hand. You can't put that in your hand. People get in contact with this thing and it causes them to die, get sick and die. He said, put it in my hand. They put it in his hand. They put it back under the microscope and every single one of those organisms was dead. Power of God. Now, he had 1 million converts. What am I telling you about a man that did something for God? Kind of like Jesus and Paul. He started 625 churches. Well, I'm at two. They got 623 more to catch him. I'm going to get him. Probably not. 1,250 preachers came out of his ministry. Okay? Would you say that it was a man that's done a little bit for God? You know what he said? The making of my ministry has been speaking in tongues. You see that? That's what he said. The making of my ministry has been speaking in tongues. Now let me tell you about another guy. Early 1900s apostle over in England. Smith Wigglesworth. How could you forget that guy? Smith Wigglesworth is an apostle of God who has confirmed several people raised from the dead in his ministry. Not just he wrote it and said, this happened in my ministry. People confirmed family members raised from the dead in his ministry. In fact, one of the testimonies of Smith Wigglesworth, you want to hear it, we're talking about the apostle of faith, went to a funeral, God said, raise him from the dead, went in the casket, picked up the body, and threw the body against the wall. This is confirmed. This isn't just one person writing this. No, no. Confirmed by people over and over and over again. Like a history book. And the body hit the wall and fell to the ground like a dead fish. And the people were, you can imagine. Smith went over and picked the body up again. Against the wall. Now, I can't remember how many several times he did that. And the last time that he did it, hit the wall, dropped, and life came back into that body. And full healing came into that person and raised from the dead. He had like 8 or 9 confirmed people raised from the dead. He's got 8 or 9 more than all of us combined. Praise God. This is what he said. Now, he couldn't read or write. Isn't that amazing? He didn't know how to read or write, but when he looked at the Bible, he could read the Bible. He was uneducated. He said, I'm one of the biggest conundrums there are in the body of Christ. He says, I can't read or write. I'm not educated. He says, I don't have any natural great things to my name. He said, but these signs, wonders, and miracles are happening in my ministry. They were. He's testifying to him. He said, I'm one of the biggest conundrums. People look at me and say, how can that come from him? You know what he said? He said, the secret of my success has been praying in tongues. What did John G. Lake have? The supernatural. What did Smith Wigglesworth have? The supernatural. What did they both accredit it to? Speaking in tongues. Why? Jesus said the power, the power, the power, the power, the power. Brother Hagin. Why is family church here today? Because of Brother Hagin. Why is there a Pastor Nancy Dufresne? Because of Brother Hagin. Why is there a Reverend Randy Greer? Because of a Brother Hagin. Why is there a Pastor Scott Webb? Because of a Brother Hagin. Why is there a Kevin and Annie Durant? Because of a Brother Hagin. All these ministers that are mighty in our camp. Brother Chris D'Amico, Reverend Alam, all these people that Joyce Meyer followed him. Kenneth Copeland followed Brother Hagin. They all followed Brother Hagin. This is the truth. And listen to what he said. As I said earlier, the greatest things that have ever happened to me in my walk with God. Now, if you'll get a hold of this, it can be true for you. The greatest things that have ever happened to me in my walk with God, the greatest healing miracles, the greatest financial breakthroughs, the greatest deliverances in my life came after I spent a prolonged length of time praying in tongues. Jesus said, this will follow you. Paul said, I do it more than anybody. And he had supernatural. He had visions, revelations, and supernatural things happening all over in his life. Popping like popcorn. John G. Lake, popping like popcorn. Tongues. Smith Wigglesworth, popping like popcorn. Credit it to tongues. Brother Hagin, signs, wonders, and miracles in that man's ministry. What did he say? The greatest things that ever happened to me came after I prayed in tongues. The greatest financial breakthroughs, deliverances. Lester Summerall, the apostle of, that was the gruff, bold one that Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy came up under with him and was one of their spiritual daddies. You know, Lester Summerall is the guy that was over in, the Philippines. And there was a girl that was possessed of the devil. And someday I'll get a more detailed version of this account. She's possessed of the devil. And, I mean, she's, the guards, nobody will go near, and people in the town know about her. And Lester Summerall gets word of her. And the Holy Ghost tells him, go over there and cast the devil out of her. Well, she's the nastiest. Preachers have been there. The guards can't get near. She's nasty in her mouth. She'll spit on you. She'll bite you. She's just supernatural strength from the demons. And the Lord says, go over there. So he goes over to her to minister to her. And she's cussing him out. And she's saying all this and lashing out at him. Well, he ends up casting the devil out of her. And it gets out on the radio. And it goes out, and it caused thousands upon thousands of people to come to his meetings, get saved, and get set free because he cast that devil out of her. You don't do that without power. You know what he said? You know what that guy said? They said, Lester, Dr. Summerall, how often do you speak in tongues? You know what he said? When I don't preach. How often do you speak in tongues? When I'm not preaching. What's he doing? What Paul did. I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. What's he doing? Driving down the road, praying in tongues. What's he doing? Washing his hair, praying in tongues. What's he doing? Laying in bed when he can't sleep at night, praying in tongues. Why? You'll see next week why it benefits you. You know who I can't wait for y'all to meet? It's Pastor Nancy Dufresne. I already got the bug in her ear to have an extended meeting at this church because that's what the Holy Ghost told me to do. You will not have heard anything like her until you hear one of her meetings. Just wait. I'm telling you, just wait. And she's been such a blessing in my ministry. But, you know, when she got connected with Dr. Dufresne, her husband, who was following Brother Hagin, and they became the dream team for over 20-some years going around and ministering and the power of the Holy Ghost and just setting people free. And she was engaged before she was going to meet him. And before she met him, and the guy was abusive, and the engagement got broke off. And, I mean, she's about ready to get married, and so she had her whole life planned. Now she's lost. What am I going to do now? What am I going to do? So for the next 3 weeks, she said, I laid on my bed, didn't care if I felt like it or not. I just took the word at face value, because the word says some things about praying in tongues, which is next week. That's the carrot. I'm dangling the carrot. She said, I don't know what the word said about praying in tongues. She said, I spent 4 hours a day on that bed praying in tongues. She said, I don't care what it felt like. I don't care what my mind said. 4 hours a day. She said, it was 2 weeks later, and you'll see this next week, why this would relate. 2 weeks later, she meets Dr. Dufresne, and they become the dream team. Amen. And she says, that changed my life because of praying in tongues. Now, you know I'm sarcastic, and I always end this part with the sarcasm. I mean, you heard what Jesus said. You've heard this before. Some of you, you know where I'm going with this. You heard what Jesus said about tongues. You heard what Paul said about tongues. You heard what John G. Lake said about tongues. Brother Hagin, Smith Wigglesworth, Lester Summerall, Pastor Nancy. But all them pale in comparison to what the next person that I'm going to tell you has to say about tongues. Are you ready to find out? This mighty warrior of God. Are you ready? Cares what Jesus and Paul say? What's Pastor Mike think? I know you're just on the edge of your seat saying, Pastor, we don't care about John G. Lake and Brother Hagin and even Jesus and Paul. We just want to know what you think. You know that sarcasm, right? But I will say this as your pastor. Besides getting saved, being filled with the Holy Ghost is the greatest gift. Above getting married, above having my children, because where I'm at today and what I have today would have never come without praying in tongues. And it's the truth. It's the truth. So I'm here to testify right along with them. I might be down on the ladder and low on the list and way in the back behind them, but I testify to what they say is true. If I could get you just to shut your mind off and to get filled with the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues till your tongue falls off, you're going to pick it up off the floor, you're going to put it back in your mouth, and you're going to go right back to praying in tongues. It doesn't matter if you can feel it, and you're going to see next week, the Bible says all these things that come from praying in tongues, they'll start to happen. Why? The word is true. Amen? Well, were you blessed tonight? It's a spiritual exercise. Why? Paul said, if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Lord, I did my part. Father, my job is done. Lord, I said it. I pray that it sticks for the people. I pray that my fruit would remain. I pray that people would get a grip on this. I don't care if they've been filled with the Holy Ghost and they've been they've spoken tongues for 25 years. We can always pray more. We can always press in more. There's more for us. Paul said he did it all the time. Father, people spend too much time worrying, too much time speaking doubt and unbelief. Put some spirit words in there. Oh, man, the supernatural start popping in their life. Now, Father, I pray this. Now, I don't know who all will be here next week. Next week, I'm going to give the invitation for some people that want to receive the Holy Ghost. And we'll lay hands on people. But if you can't be here next week and you want the gift now, you say, I don't want to wait till next week, Pastor Mike. You just come up and see me. I'll get you filled with the Holy Ghost. Because we'll just do it God's way. Praise God. But I will say this, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Don't be that Christian that God just offered you supernatural help in your life. And you might say, I don't need that. You might not need that this second, but someday you're going to. And if Jesus commanded it, that's good enough reason why you should get it. He didn't suggest it. He said it's a commandment. We wouldn't think of murdering. We wouldn't think of stealing. Why? They're commandments. But we all the time, we'll hear this for the first time and say, that's just not for me. I just don't want that. And we're disobeying Jesus. I'm sorry to say it, but that's the truth. And I pray that people will get a revelation, Father, and they would not continue their life on earth without the power. And those that have been filled and have spoke with other tongues, I pray that they would pick it up, begin to pray more, begin to make more power available, begin to speak more in tongues. And Father, next week we'll show them why it's important. So Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share the word. Now Father, I know in this service tonight everybody's born again, everybody's received Jesus, there's no unsaved people. But if by chance someone listening or somebody listening in the future, not right now, has never been born again, you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he is the way to heaven. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me except, no man comes to the Father except through me. He said, to not perish and have everlasting life, they have to believe on me. So if you're listening and you have not believed on Jesus, you've not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that to go to heaven, to become a child of God. And your church attendance won't get you in. Being a moral, good person doesn't get you in. Your generosity doesn't get you in. And your bad works can't keep you out. And the bad things you've done wrong can't keep you out. It's what you do with Jesus. And all you simply have to do is call on his name, Romans 10:13 tells you. If you just say, Lord, I believe in you that you died and rose again, and I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll pray that and mean it, you'll be born again. You'll be saved. So, Father, we thank you so much for this message. We're gonna be doers of the word, Father. And if it was good enough for Jesus, and if it was good enough for the Apostle Paul, and if it was good enough for all those mighty men and women of God that are doing mighty things for you and have done and are doing mighty things for you on the earth, then, Father, we need it as well. Let's just stand to our feet and praise him together as one family, one accord. And again, if you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, you just come and see me. Next week, we'll give a public invitation for it, but you don't want to miss this. Change my life. Whoa, where would I be without that? Without the supernatural help, Father, thank you so much. Lord, I know I tell you thank you all the time, but I want you to know my words are sincere. Father, this is not just lip service, just to look good and just to close the service out. Father, I am thankful for the Holy Ghost and for the ability and the gift to speak in tongues. Father, what a blessing. What a blessing. I pray that everybody would receive that. And we give you the praise. And Father, we thank you for the food that we're about to eat. Father, I pray that you bless the hands that prepare it, bless the people that set up and that will stay after to clean up. Father, it's work unto you, and Lord, you're not unrighteous to forget it. You see all those things. So we thank you for a good time of fellowship and good food and good blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Oh, communion, we're not dismissed. Communion, let's bring it in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sorry. I get going, you know. Let's go ahead and sit down. Praise God. Brothers, you can go ahead and serve the people. Brady, can you put that song on for us? We might not, if they get done passing it out first, we might have you just fade it. I'll let you know. But let's just worship him. Lord, I didn't mean to forget this part of the service. Oh, Jesus, we love you. This song is, there's something about that name. Thank you, Jesus. This is a precious time. Let's put our focus back on him and take it off the food right now and just put it on him. Magnify you. So grateful, so thankful that you shed your blood, that you paid the price for us. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Just be in an attitude of worship. Put your focus on him. This is our time to be grateful, thankful for the price that he paid. Thank you, Jesus, in worship. Thank you, Lord. Something about the name of Jesus. Thankful for your name. Awesome. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 23, Paul says, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's go ahead and break the bread and go ahead and eat. Lord, we thank you so much for what the bread represents. It represents your body that was broken so we could walk in divine health, Father. Your stripes, by the stripes that were laid on Jesus, the stripes that broke him, we can be healed. Thank you, Lord, for paying that price for us. In verse 25, it says, after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, after he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Let's go ahead and drink. Lord, we thank you that the juice represents the blood of Jesus that was spilled for us for the remission of our sins, the price, the precious blood of Jesus, without spot and blemish. Lord, we're so grateful. Let's just thank him together for the blood and the body of Jesus. It's something we should do every day, thank him. We should thank him for what he did for us every day. I know we get busy and forget at times, but Lord, we want you to know we're grateful and we're thankful. We praise you and we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pass your cups towards the center aisle, then you can be dismissed and go enjoy some food. Praise God.